are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Welcome to Inside the Game, presented by Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. What's up, Sir T?
What's cracking, homie?
Hey, I'm going to introduce you guys in a second. We got a special show tonight. We got the legends, guys who created this street marketing team. We got Scotty D. I got Sir T. I got, you know, Siddiqui calling in. Michael Nixon calling in. You guys are in for show, man. Troy Sheldon's going to be calling. So let's make this happen. Go ahead, guys. Introduce yourselves. What's up, Scotty?
Scotty D. Spencer, the scholar.
Go ahead, Sir T.
Sir T, Jam City Promotions.
Man, let's get into this. What's the definition of street marketing coming from you guys?
We try to give each other the baton.
This y'all show. Only thing I'm going to do is watch the time. So the questions I'm going to direct to y'all. So go ahead.
Street promotion has been going on since the beginning of time. Way back before the world was created. You had all them scholars promoting Jesus coming, the coming of everything. When this rap thing came along in the 70s, by the time it hit California, we was already promoting dancing by the world's greatest promoter ever, Roger Clayton. Rest in peace.
Uncle Jam.
Uncle Jam's Army. He started the thing off, but everybody was promoting their own dances with flyers and everything, but Roger was doing it in a big capacity. So when I came along with Roger, we met, I was passing out flyers at one of his dances for my group, the Sound Master Crew, which is by way of Compton, California. And he caught me in one of his dances passing out flyers, and he said, yo, you can't be passing out no flyers in my spot, homeboy. So I went ahead and we became friends after that day. And we merged our tactics. I mean, we would be passing our flyers in different events, like all through the parking lot, putting flyers. But what the definition of street promotions is, get out there in these communities and just advertise. Advertise whatever product it is you have. And everything is a product, from an artist to a concert to a Pepsi Cola can.
That's right.
You can't come to a full definition unless you go back to the beginning of time. Promotions has always been going on, and it's never going to stop. They just changed the way of how to do it. No, but actual street promotions has never going to end, because it's always going to be people that's riding up and down the highways. We need those advertising signs. Now, they've made them bigger now. They're not fluorescent posters that we used to do. They're big, huge signs of lights on them now. You know, they've taken it out of the hands of people like me, Sir T, Floyd Shelton, Michael Nixon, and all the other street promotion crews that ever existed. Now they went corporate with it.
And, before we get into that real deep, hold on. Troy, I wanted to let you know you're on. So, you know, this is y'all show. Y'all speak and tell the truth what y'all want to do.
Absolutely, man. Good to hear everybody.
Big Troy.
This is like the old school midnight combo talk.
It was created by the world famous Troy Shelton.
The late conference call guy. We always count on you for the midnight conference calls and shit.
only
what's up, Big Troy?
What's happening? Who's that?
It's Shaqui. What's up, man? Glad you're joining our show, man. I had to get back to my roots, man, and let people know this game is real. And I want to go on and give y'all your props.
Oh, much appreciated, homie. Much appreciated, man.
So go ahead, brothers. I didn't mean to interrupt. Y'all go ahead and talk, because you're going to have a lot of callers calling in asking questions. I got a couple of them here waiting for y'all.
Go ahead, Sir T.
Well, I mean, the game is... We basically took hip-hop promotion. Like, Uncle Jam was my partner, too, Roger. We had Jam City Record Pool, which at that time was a spinoff of Impact. You know, rest in peace, Roger, rest in peace, Foot. Because Foot had the best pool in the country. And, you know, the record pool was designed to supply all the DJs. they couldn't get free wax, or they did get free wax but only got one copy. But most of them would have to buy wax. Most of them were club DJs. We kind of innovated it to another level to where we got all the radio mixes. We locked down radio and ended up becoming the most powerful radio mix show record pool in the country. And that was with the help of, like I said, Foot, you know, Roger, Greg Mack. Greg Mack pretty much influenced me. He's like, T, you need to start a pool. And I'm like, yeah, you know what, you're right. So Greg made some calls. Roger made some calls. I made some calls. And we started the pool. You know, I've been DJing since I was like 13. I was the first DJ actually to play the first ever hip-hop recorded record. And that was in 1979 in March. Because back then, I had an AM station. It was a country-formatted powerhouse in Central Cali. And at that time, California only had two black stations. That was KGFJ in L.A., and it had KDIA in Oakland. And those were both AM. That's when AM dominated FM. Later on that year, KGLH flipped formats, but that wasn't until like mid-79. But when I got that first record in the mail, I think it was like the 1st of March, because we used to get the promo copies like 6 weeks early. I got that Fatback 12 album. And I listened to it, put the record, put King Kim the Third on. I'm like, oh, man, this is different. This is something new and fresh. So I put it on the show that night, man. My phone went crazy. And that was really the first time a rap record got played on the radio. You know, we were already playing funk and soul and R&B on a country format station. You know, it was country all day, but at 7 o'clock at night, all the way to midnight, it was funk, soul, and then later on rap. And that lasted about 2 years. And, you know, I just kept pushing, man. So I got lucky. Jerry Heller put me on. Troy put me on. I mean, you know, I started working for all these labels. Faye DuVernay, got to give him his props. I mean, and then it just became a thing to where, you know, I had my territory. Scotty had his territory. I mean, all the G's, you know, Troy kept us working. You know, Troy was on the business side. I mean, it was just great. We didn't know. We were young, man. We didn't know how big this would end up being. You know, so, I mean, I used to trip on my team, or I'd take my girl, or I'd take my kids on, you know, to one of these events. I'm like, hey, yo, don't take no pictures. You're going to make me look like you a groupie, you know. This is my job. You know, but had I known now what I know then, I would have took a lot more pictures, saved a lot more stuff. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just like, we were just lucky. We were fortunate to be in the position and to have so much influence in the game. I mean, because, you know, a lot of people like Roger Clayton, Scotty Dog, what Greg did later on with 1580 K-Day, what Troy did with these record labels, Fades. I mean, there's just a lot of people, man. There's so many people that were part of that big equation breaking everybody. It's unreal, you know. And we were just lucky to be a part of it. And I see the game is changing, and the labels are starting to realize that they need to go back. They went away from the streets. We didn't walk away from them. They thought they could replace us with social media, which, you know, somebody has 500,000 likes, that don't necessarily mean they got 500,000 sales. And the labels
before
are starting
get into
to realize that
before,
now.
Before we get into that, I definitely want to ask that question because that's a deep subject. I definitely want to get Troy in here, and I want to thank you, man, because Troy actually gave me my first job, and Scotty had given me my Inland Empire territory, so definitely thanks, y'all. But go ahead, Troy. Before we get into that, I wanted to get Troy introduced, and then we can go for broke.
Well, let's see here. I mean, first off, it's great to hear, you know, all the guys together. And, you know, when I first put together, you know, the concept for, you know, street team promotion, and I mean, I think loosely people were doing it around the country. I mean, Jeff House was doing it, and, you know, there were a bunch of brothers down south that were, you know, that were doing it. But I think the thing that, you know, myself and Craig Davis were able to do was actually put some structure to what street promotion became or was to become. And I kind of based it off of the Capo regimes from basically the Roman legions, you know, captains, lieutenants, and soldiers, and just applied an entrepreneurial science to it, where a guy like Scotty, a guy like Sir T, they had their territory, and those guys ran their territories. And the way that it was supposed to work was they were supposed to bring people under them that were responsible, and the people that they brought in were supposed to be bring in people under them that were responsible. So we actually were able to set up, you know, a hierarchy of people you know, where each person was responsible to the person above them, and they would disseminate information to myself so I could better serve them and give them the things that they needed to, you know, exploit their territory to the fullest. So, you know, when street promotion, you know, quote unquote, when it began, it was really to regionalize national promotion. And a lot of when I first started working, you know, for record labels, you know, they really didn't have any idea, you know, what this thing was. I mean, we didn't have any idea what it was. So the rules were being made as we, you know, we grew and we went along. And as we noticed, you know, the power that vinyl, those cassettes, you know, the flyers, the rags, you know, had, you know, we were able to introduce more product, more tools, you know, to get the name out there. And see, at the time, you know, there was a much bigger pie, you know, for record companies to sell. And what we were able to do was actually take the model that record companies were used to, running the radio, and take it outside of the norm and actually create a fan economy based upon, you know, being able to give out tools and free music, you know, to sell albums. You know, I'm a big fisherman, so I always call that chum in the water. We were able to, you know, have, you know, things that spark the interest of people who didn't necessarily know the acts, but they loved getting, you know, a free cassette or a free shirt or a free hand towel or something that, you know, would become national branding. You know, we were doing things that people would adopt later, you know, to brand everything from music to cars, to clothing, to movies. You know, there's nothing that's above, you know, street promotion, because it's basically is direct consumer contact. And I think once, you know, we were able to set the model, you know, it just it grew. And those of us who were in the beginning were able to go to different places and spread the science and allow this thing to become, you know, something that, you know, no vision. So that's kind of it.
You know, I want to definitely set out this. What do y'all think when people say street marketing is dead and they think that social media is the way to go? Essentially, to me, it's like telling us we're not worthy no more. We're not who we need to be. So please speak on that.
Yeah, I can say one thing about that is how many platinum records are coming out now versus when we were doing street promotion? Very rare, man. Very rare.
Actually, none, to be honest with you.
Exactly, and we used to get them on a weekly basis. So, you know, that tells you the whole story right there. I think they made a big mistake, and they're starting to realize it. And the last couple of years in the game is teaching them that. I mean, you can't go away from real music. You can't go away from street promotions. I mean, it's just something that you need. You got to have that to be successful.
And it was a different consumer. I mean,
exactly.
When hip hop was born, you know, I mean, you have to look at the science of, you know, the science of the sale. You know, it started with a nothing that turned into something. And when you compare social media, which is a new tool, to the original tool of street promotion, there really isn't that much difference. The difference is, you know, back then, we were turning corn. We were actually bringing people in who were spending revenue. Right now, music has almost become a throwaway item to get to another thing that you're selling, whether it's merchandise, whether it's a tour, whether it's a show, whether it's an advertising-based model for streaming. You know, they've basically changed the revenue from a sale for music to fan capital, where your fans actually are the capital in which, you know, you're investing in. You know, and it's unfortunate because the people that are hurting the most are the artists. You know, they don't have that platform to sell like it used to be. Because, frankly, the consumer today, they're not buying music. They're renting it. They're streaming. They're looking at it on YouTube. And they're looking at it on in models where they don't basically have to exchange that money for one particular thing, you know. So it's changed. But street promotion will always be important because direct consumer contact is the core of anything that you sell.
I agree. This is Scotty. I think we're doing a project right now. We're doing a kid right now. His name is Pinochle out of San Fernando Valley. And we were all putting up posters like at all these events that just happened in California. And people are looking at us like, what are you doing? Why are you putting that poster up? Why are you giving me this flyer with all these radio stations on? Wow, you got, they still got radio stations with call-in lines? And it's just, you know, it shows me that it'll never go anywhere. As long as we stick to what we're doing, it's going to come. Everything does a 360. Everything does a cipher in the world. Everything does a 360. And I know it's going to be coming back to this sooner or later. Sooner, not later. But because these guys are really losing in the game right now, especially the new artists that have never made a flyer for themselves. They don't invest in themselves like we did in the early days of hip-hop. Everybody invested in themselves. They got out there and they actually did the work. All the artists that came up under me, like the Dove C, the DJ Latin, the Coolios, them guys knew street promotions before they knew how to actually perform on stages.
I had
the guys up under me, like Troy was saying, as far as the crews up under you. Like my crew, we were grimy. We actually did the work. We weren't throwing your posters and flyers in the trash. We were actually putting it out there for the consumer. And the more you let the consumer see who you are, and they can reach out and touch you, you're a product. You know, you're a brand. Once you let that person see that you're available to be touched and reached out to, you know, and that's what these guys are not really doing. I see one guy, like Snoop, he's all over the place. He does a lot. But a lot of these artists are scared to touch the consumers, and I don't understand that philosophy right now. But, you know, as long as we stay out here in these streets, I believe it'll come back to that. Because we were the liaison from the streets to the record labels. Now it's like we're the liaison, period, for the artists, because the artists don't even know which way to go with their product.
I agree. I mean, a lot of times I was just in a meeting, and they were talking about how social media was the moving piece. I mean, was what needed to be done, and the record was just a moving chess piece, a brandable part to keep moving. And you're right; they don't take possession of the record as a sale. They don't take possession of the record as a product. So now it's just some piece that they can move across the board. And then social media is everything that they're depending on. And my personal opinion is you can't build a brand without a product to sell.
And the product has to be digestible. It has to be something that is wanted. I mean, you know, what's really funny is I think that a lot of artists don't realize the kind of work that goes into building, you know, a story. You know, because if you get a million likes, you know, that means, well, damn it, I've made it. You know, and that's not necessarily the case. You know, because, you know, you can have a bunch of likes, and you can stream, you know, get a bunch of streams, and you're going to get, you know, 300 streams to make a penny. You know, and it doesn't really do anything as far as building your story, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, it boils down to who's going to put money down to take you home with them. You know, you look at a guy like Kendrick Lamar, you know, it took him 10 years to get where he is now. You know, so he's invested in himself, and it wasn't social media that made him. You know, it was, you know, finding small groups of people, you know, to invest in him, you know, because they believed in his music, you know. And, I mean, I'm an older guy, you know, but the bottom line is a hit is a hit is a hit. Now, it may not be the kind of music that we dig because we may not understand it, or it just may not have the right kind of taste and feel to us. But, you know, to those consumers, you know, who like it, you know, you can't deny that, you know, there's something there that's strictly for them. You know, so you just got to find a sweet spot between the sale and marketing and putting it out there.
I hear you. Hold on, fellas. We got a caller. Let's see what they want to ask. You're on the air.
Good evening. How are y'all doing this evening?
Oh, good.
That's good. You know, this is a great conversation that you are having tonight. It is extremely timely. And
what's your name? They
call me Big Mike. I'm from Riverside. The thing I wanted to bring out to you guys, I saw you guys, I saw your business model take place in the 70s. I saw how successful it was through the 70s, 80s, 90s, until the social media stuff popped up. What I wanted to let you know and bring up, I guess you already know this, is that the political arena stole your street marketing concept. That's what you see on the street now, money going in political campaigns and things. So you were very effective. You were revolutionary in what you were able to do from a grassroots capitalization level. And you are exactly right. It's going to come back to that. You know, you guys, you know, you stay out there with your trumpets and your saxophones and you keep telling people and you're drawing these crowds to what you're doing. Because you are exactly right. The social media aspect removed the humanity of the connection from the artist to his audience. And, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but those who ain't heard the music and don't know what these brothers are talking about, you need to be taking notes. Seriously. And with that, I'm going to let you keep going because I love what you're talking about.
We appreciate you, brother. My name is Scotty, man. A lot of us have also helped a lot of politicians get into office by helping them campaign.
That's why I brought that up.
I appreciate that, man. That's a real good.
And also, I want to know, I know who you guys are. We have never met because Shakir and I are connected at the hip. And I look forward to meeting you one of these days. I got some products I want to shoot at you when I get enough money to mess with you.
I appreciate the understanding that it costs money to work with them, man.
That's right. And nothing's for nothing, right?
That's right. These brothers
all
got
right,
families.
That's the other thing you youngsters learn. Get some kind of budget. These brothers just dropped the low-budget master plan on you. If you were listening to them, you know how to do it. You can't do it like they can do it, but they can tell you how to do it. Every great player needs a great coach. Listen
Amen.
To the coaches right here, right now. Take your notes. You know who I'm talking to because I done told you to listen to this show and I wasn't playing. I hope you listen. I hope you got your whole class listening on this, brother. You'll never
That's
get
right.
this kind of education in a college.
This is applied knowledge. All right, I'm getting ready to drop this song, man. I mean, I know all y'all worked on this. We getting ready to drop this song, Gangsta, by NWA. We're going to be back. We got to drop a song, and I'm pay some bills, and we'll be back. This is Inside the Game with Legendary Street Kings. We'll be back.
Life ain't nothing but girls and money. Cause I'm the type of brother that's built to last. We had some in the present, some in the past. But I don't give a damn cause I keep belling, belling. Yo, tell them what they yelling. Just hanging, some dope dealing, some gang banging. We decide to roll and we deep. See a sucker on date, then we creep real slow. And before you know, I have my AK pointed in the window. Check it in, punk, or I might blast. He got scared and hit the gas. We tried to catch him, but you all know you can't catch a 5.0. So we headed right back to the fort, sweating all the girls in the biker shorts. We didn't get no play from the ladies, with six thugs in the car, are you crazy? She was scared, and it was showing. We all said,
oh, we did,
and kept going to the hood, and we were sent to look for something else to get into, like a new female, or in fact, a bum rush, but we call it Rat Pack. On a sucker for nothing at all, Ice Cube will go stupid when I'm full of 8-ball. I might stumble, but still won't lose. Now I'm dressed in the county blues. Cause I'm the type of brother that's built to last. We had some in the present, some in the past. But I don't give a damn cause I keep belling, belling. Yo, tell them what they're yelling.
Wait a minute, cut this. Man, what you gonna do now?
What we gonna do right here is go back.
How far are you going back?
Way back.
As we go a little something like this.
Hit it, here's a little gangster short size. A t-shirt, Levi's, this is only disguise. Built like a tank, yet hard to hit.
And jumped in the 6-4 with the
diamond in the back.
Dig in the scene with the gangster lean, cause I'm the E. I don't slang or bang, I just knock suckers out like it ain't no thing. And all the ladies, you know I'm talking to you.
We love you, Easy.
Yeah, I love you too, because you see, you know I gotta be legit.
So let me tell you, stupid suckers, who you're messing with.
Cause I'm the type of brother that's built to last. We have some in the present, some in the past. But I don't really care, cause I keep belling, belling. Yo, tell them what they're yelling.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Inside the Game. Tonight we're talking about the Street Kings, how we promoted, how they banged out the streets and made things work. We got Sir T, we got Troy Selton, we got Scotty D.
Scotty D.
You know, let's make this happen, man. We got a caller, man. I want to go to him, see what we can talk about. All right?
Unmuted. What up? What up? It's
K-9
Compton, man. What's good with y'all?
That's all like K-9 Compton. K-9 Compton.
What's good? What's good? I hear y'all, man. I hear y'all talking about some real legendary stuff, man, you know. I was a part of that legendary stuff y'all talking about. But, you know, I feel it all the way. And without promoting, without street promotion, even to this day right now, without street promotion, it's millions and millions of people that will never hear you or never even find out who you are without street promotion. Street promotion is always going to exist. In any business, whether it's a shirt, some jeans, some rims, it's always going to be street promotion out there.
Let me pose a question to you guys. What do y'all feel about this little conversation they call in street promotion? They upgraded it to urban lifestyle marketing. What do y'all feel about that?
Well, can I go first, y'all? I wasn't at that meeting. I wasn't at that meeting when they did that, and I'm really appalled. I'm very appalled by that because us being people who actually came up with the name Street Promotions, lived it, breathed it, ate it, you know, we burst it. You know, for them to come in, see, I go back to this thing. It was a corporate takeover way back in the 60s with Stack Records. They took over Stack Records. They took
and stack records from this major black man. The same way they're taking away our name street promotions and making it what they want it to be. I know Troy wasn't at the meeting. I know good and well Sir T wasn't at the meeting, and I wasn't even on the guest list. Top position on this right here, man. I don't get it.
What's really
good
funny
name.
Is,
don't get it wrong. It's a good name. It's a good name, but it doesn't have us involved.
Well, what's really funny is when you talk, you know, a heading urban lifestyle marketing, you know, I mean, basically that was a way to fold it into a quote-unquote record company structure. When I first started working at labels, you know, I started out here in Philadelphia and ended up in Los Angeles, California, working for Warner Brothers, Death Row, Interscope, EMI. When we were doing, you know, what we were doing, you know, we knew what we were doing. We knew what it was called. But I remember when I was working at Arista Records, they didn't even have a rap department. And they called it Special Projects R&B. So, you know, before there were rap departments and urban lifestyle departments, it was usually just, you know, something that they threw money at, you know, just because they needed to say that they had some skin in the game because they saw the kind of revenue that these smaller companies were making. You know, and at the time when, you know, Rick and Russell started and Fly Tie and, you know, you had a bunch of guys on the West Coast from, you know, the Ruthlesses and things like that. They were starting their labels. You know, they didn't have the same kind of money that these major labels were playing with. The only game that they had was street promotion and finding those new up-and-coming jocks that some of these stages were putting on to play this music that they necessarily did not want to play, but realized that if they wanted to keep their listeners, they had to put it on the air some kind of way.
That's definitely true. And, you know, you had labels back in the day that like Troy said, didn't have money. Like, for example, Young Black Brother Records, DeRocca and Kyrie. I mean, they were doing big things out the bay. That's the Ray Love came out of that camp, Mac Dre, Mac Maul. And you had E-40 and the Click, which we broke here out of Fresno. It was just a click at the time, and I mean, they had no money. You know, it's a small label, independent. I mean, so a lot of the black music, hip hop in general, came from little small labels. I mean, you know, people like Cletus Anderson. I mean, some of these OGs in McCola. I mean, you know, CRD was really important back in those days, in the early rap days. I mean, because they had Al Bell. I mean, Scotty's got a book coming out there. You got to speak on that, Scotty.
We're gonna get into that about 10 minutes because I want to give him his proper time to do what he want to do on that. I definitely want to promote that because that helps everything that we're saying. I guess this is DJ Stealth. What's up? You on the line? But Scotty, guys, I want you guys to tell us about those days on how you broke those records. For instance, NWA without any radio. How did that happen?
Well, I can speak. Let me speak first. On NWA, we knew Easy, and at the same time, I had a clothing line out right now called, it was California Custom. We were making custom sweatsuits. So I had contracts all over the United States with different retailers. So I had a few artists. I had King T, and I had just met Hammer up in Oakland at one of our Uncle Jam Army shows. So I had all these boxes of records. Easy came along, and he had this single out, and it was hot. Cletus Anderson had put it on the mixtape. We started with the mixtape, and it blew up. I mean, Cletus is an original mixtape king, and he's the first person to get a vinyl in L.A. also. He's a West Coast forefather. To make a long story short, I put those records inside the boxes, and I would send them to all the places where I was selling clothes at. One place I was selling clothes at was New York City. They grabbed a record. It was MC Search. Search's guy. He had one of the guys that was his manager, Tony Dick. He got the record. He gave it to Red Alert. Red Alert played one song. He didn't like Easy's record. He didn't like Hammer's record, but he played King T's record. King T was the first West Coast artist to get played in New York City. T to this day. The payback is a mother. But make a long story short, we had different ways of doing it. We actually laid out the blueprint for this stuff. We are the blueprint inventors. Some of these guys on this phone right now are the blueprint inventors. And the way that we did promotion was it wasn't a book on it. I couldn't even it wasn't Google wasn't out back then, so we had to come up with these different dogmatic plans ourselves and implement them in the best way that we could. Like me, I'm a hood dude. I'm straight out of Compton. I mean, I had to go places I would never go, different neighborhoods. I was from a blue neighborhood, but I would go into the red neighborhoods and have fun there. So this stuff was so. It was a spiritual thing because we were in places that we weren't supposed to be, dodging bullets and never got hurt. Probably got robbed a few times. Being out late at night, putting up posters or stickers or whatever the case may be. We didn't have a way to do it. Like if you go to the club with me some nights, like Dove C will tell you, you go to the club with me, you wasn't going home unless you helped me pass out some flyers or put these cassettes up in this club. We had our own ways of doing this. Like Sir T had his own way of doing it. Troy, from the corporate standpoint, he knew who to put on to make the thing happen.
And that's,
you know,
key.
Some of us got jobs by, some of us had jobs, you know, some of us got jobs by just doing a real campaign on a different product or artist. They wanted to know who the hell is doing that Tupac? Who is doing this? Who is doing this work? And they would, that's how we would get jobs. Because
well,
we were everywhere.
Scotty,
we were in places we weren't supposed to be.
Well, Scotty said is real important because no one person could do everything. And, I mean, you know, it was my job to make sure that these guys got tools that they needed wherever they were because they each had a different kind of science to get the job done. What Scotty did in L.A. was different than what Sir T did, you know, in Fresno. What the guy in Chicago did was different than what the guy did in the South. What the guy in New York did was different than the guy did in the Carolinas. So you had to know your people, and you had to give them the rein to do what they needed to do where they were, you know. And I think that was the thing that really built this type of marketing and made it so regional and specific, because you had to understand your people and you had to emphatically trust them. I couldn't tell them how to do what they do where they were. I had to listen to what they were doing to give them and make sure they got everything that they needed. Scotty, you know, made a very, very good point right there.
Yeah, I mean, we even, like, different products, like say we had a sugar-free product. Nobody knew how to promote sugar-free. Sugar-free was a different type of an artist. You couldn't do an album called Street Gospel to a church because he wasn't talking about that. You had to go to the after-hour joints, the motorcycle club, the low-rider club. You had to go to after-hour joints and stuff like that. Every product, even plays, Your Arms Too Short, The Box of God, even Checkmate, we promoted that. That was Denzel Washington's first play. You had to go to different places to do this. So everything that we did was always strategic, and you had to have the right team. And like I said, my team was grimy, bro. We had a grimy team.
We're gonna get into all the different things that street marketing has pushed and helped. I'm getting ready to pay some bills. We get back, we're gonna talk about Scotty's book. We're gonna talk about all the different ways street marketing has helped a slew of products, and I'm also gonna play a couple of records. So, you know, this is Inside the Game on Coach Zine Radio, and definitely let's pay some bills.
Are you an artist, DJ, or dancer? Have you been looking for a chance to prove your talent to the world with no luck? Well, look no further. Join us for the next To Blow $50,000 National Talent Search. Two lucky contestants will go home with a cash prize of $50,000 and a single deal with a major recording company. Our judges represent some of the largest record labels, including Universal, Island Records, Def Jam Recordings, Atlantic Records, Concord Music Group, After Eden Records, and Interscope. The next To Blow talent search will be coming to a state near you, but slots are limited and will not last long. So register today at www.thenexttoblow.com. That's T-H-E-N-E-X-T, the number 2, B-L-O-W.com. Don't miss out because you could be next.
Yo.
dog.
One, two, three into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up,
cause you know we're about to rip shit up.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-thang, baby. Two low-death niggas, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake it. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me dig on a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal, Holyfield. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. It's like that and like this and like that, Anna. It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. Drake creeps to the mic like a fan.
Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping, but I damn near got caught cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You've never been on a ride like this before, with a producer who can rap and control the maestro. At the same time with the dope rhyme that I kick, you know and I know I flow some old funky shit. To add to my collection, the selection symbolizes dope. Take a toast but don't choke. If you do, you have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do.
It's like this and like that and like this, and it's like that and like this and like that, and it's like this.
Then who gives a fuck about those?
So just chill to the next episode. On that ass, what a hell of a gangster lean. Getting funky on the mic like an old batch of collard greens. It's the capital S-O-S, I'm fresh and double O-P. D-O-double-G-Y-D-O-double-G, you see. Showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic. Pimping hoes and clocking a grip like my name was Dolomite. Yeah, and it don't quit. I think they in the mood for some motherfucking G shit.
Hell yeah.
So Drake,
what up, dog?
Gotta give them what they want.
What's that, G?
We gotta break them off something.
Hell yeah.
And it's gotta be bumping.
City of Compton. Where it takes place, so a national attention. Mobbing like a motherfucker, but I ain't lynching. Dropping the funky shit that's making the sucker niggas mumble. When I'm on the mic, it's like a cookie, they all crumble. Try to get close, and your ass will get smacked. My motherfucking homie, Doggy Dogg, has got my back. Never let me slip, cause if I slip, then I'm slipping. But if I got my Nina, then you know I'm straight tripping. And I'ma continue to put the rap down, put the Mac down. And if your bitches talk shit, I have to put the smack down. Yeah, and you don't stop. I told you I'm just like a clock. When I tick and I sock, but I'm never off, always on till the break of dawn. See you when PTO win and the city they call Long Beach. Putting the shit together like my nigga DOC. No one can do it better
like this, that, and this, and it's like that, and like this, and like that, and it's like this.
Then who gives a fuck about those?
So just chill till the next episode.
Hey yo, peace, this is the son of Bambada, Africa Islam, representing the Universal Zulu Nation. Yo, inside the game, you know, Culture Zine Radio, where urban lives. Remember what I said, Africa Islam, son of Bambada, Universal Zulu Nation, inside the game. Culture Zine Radio, to my man, Shaki, who's doing it all. Yo, from Bronx to Bangkok, from Bangkok to Berlin, back to Culture Zine, Africa Islam. Peace to my man, Ice-T. Peace to my father, Bambada. I'm out, baby. Peace.
Welcome back. This is Culture Zine Radio Network. This is Inside the Game. This is where Urban Culture lives. We got the Street Kings here, man, and they're definitely dropping these bombs. I hope y'all paying attention. Gentlemen, let's get into this. I got a question for you. How many different ways have you guys utilized the foundation of street marketing to push products like films and TV shows? And a lot of times people don't understand how many times they've come to us to make these things happen. Please speak on this.
Well, I got 100 different ways to make something happen. It's hundreds of ways, man. It's not no one way to do. No, like I just told you earlier about a sugar-free product. It all depends on the actual, if it's a product or is it an album, is it a concert, is it a play. You know, everything has its own entity.
and we have to make it happen by our own, ways of doing it. That's it. I mean, period. There's no way, and you got to have the right crew. You can't do it by yourself. Main thing is you got to have a crew that you can depend on. If you give them 1,000 flyers, they're going to hit up 1,000 cars or 1,000 people or 1,000 different places. So you can't just, you got to have a good crew. That's the main thing. You got to have people that's loyal. Like, my crew is loyal. To this day, this 2000 going on 16, and my guy's still ready and on point. Everybody's doing different things, but they're still on point. But it's 100 different ways to promote a product.
One of the things that I realized early with street promotion was, you know, when you put up a poster, when you handed out a flyer, when you gave somebody some type of tool, you know, it wasn't just for that person, because what happened was, you know, that tool was spread to many different people. So, for example, if you put up a poster at the corner of on Crenshaw Boulevard, you know, I would actually figure out the number of gross impressions that poster would create. So when you can kind of figure out how many people see your tool, your marketing tool, you can kind of gauge, you know, the kind of response and, you know, the kind of foot traffic that is going to see it. You know, so it's just the same. It's the same principle that, you know, Clear Channel and, you know, some of the larger outdoor advertising companies use to charge for billboards. You know, they base it on how many people are going to see it, you know, the proximity of where it is, because some corners are better than others, you know, and you figured out, you know, what, you know, the space was worth. You know, so you could take that to a Coca-Cola and say, well, you know what, if you give me X amount of dollars, I can guarantee you that, you know, 1,000 people a day are going to walk by, you know, your poster and see it. So it was an applied science. And the thing that, you know, guys like Sir T and Scotty were able to tell me, and I was able to walk into a Step Johnson or a Clyde Davis or, whoever, and say, well, these guys are able to, you know, get your product in front of, you know, 100,000 people. They need to be paid X amount of dollars because they have the relationships to navigate where they are and make it worth your while to hire them to put your product where it is. So whether it's television or, you know, TV, a movie, whatever it is, if it's for the demographic that you're trying to reach and you know where those people are and you're able to infiltrate it with, you know, a minimal hassle, you know, as we know later on in the game, you know, City started, you know, writing tickets for putting up posters and handing out flyers and started arresting some of, you know, some of the street guys, you know. But if you're able to navigate those waters and get, you know, those products in front of X amount of people, you know, I was able to put a plan together and say, you know what, these guys are worth X amount of dollars and you need to pay them because nobody else can do what they do.
That's real. Right now, man, I want to definitely ask Sir T. Sir T.
What's cracking, man?
What do you feel about, I mean, you know, all the different ways that the street market is still being used? Speak on it. And we're going to get into your book, right when we finish with Sir T, we're going into your book, bro.
It's like this. I mean, if you look at some of the companies now, whether it's selling real estate, whether it's a tax company, I mean, everybody's using the concepts that we created, the sign spinners, the wrap vehicles, I mean, the sniping everywhere. What now they do it on a more professional level because they're paying companies like 3M to do all this stuff. And, you know, the problem is those are all our ideas. You go to the bars and the nightclubs, I mean, you see the table tents, you see the matchbook condoms. Everything that they use, we created those concepts. I mean, people like Scotty, like Troy, like, you know, Roger, we got a lot of stuff from Roger, how he used to promote back in the day. And, you know, I'm still going to speak on Roger. I was my partner. I was Scotty's partner. And, you know, I never thought he's gotten the props that he actually deserves because he was a forefather in this game. And you know, we're still using these same concepts, man. Everybody's using them. The thing is, they changed the name. Like you said, they didn't ask me, Scotty, or Troy, or any of the other OGs. I mean, they basically walked away from us. And I think now, you know, with the way the industry is, they're starting to realize, hey, you know, we made a big mistake. I mean, we need these guys. I've gotten so many calls lately, and if you see what we're doing, me and Scotty are working this Pinochle project. You know, we got label interested in him now. He's the number 20 independent artist, and that's from love, man. That's not through major corporate dollars to pay for these radio stations. I mean, that's on relationships and love. You know, we got people doing this thing like DJ Edition, and, you know, we're starting to make this thing happen, and people are paying attention. These big labels are paying attention to what we're doing. I mean, and they need people like Troy running these companies. They need people like me and Scotty running these street teams. I mean, the street teams are never going to go away. They're using everything. They pay these kids and call them brand ambassadors. They'll never, ever, I don't care who they are. I mean, you could put any of these kids they got up against me and my OGs.
Where'd I come from? I'm a brand ambassador. That's my first time hearing that.
They call them brand ambassadors, and they pay them like $20 an hour, man. And they don't go into the hoods. I mean, look, you can put anything on social media that you want. That's like a commercial in the middle of Empire. They just change the channel, man. I mean, but if you go to a barbershop and a beauty salon and a liquor store, everybody's looking at some flyers, man. You put a nice poster on a telephone pole, everybody's seeing that poster, man. So I don't care what they say, man. They got to come back to the streets. It's gonna happen. If they want to sell records again like they used to and go platinum and gold, they got to come up with a different plan, and they got to come back to the streets first. That's the first step.
Not even a different plan, because the one thing they never figured out was we go where the people are. Now, we can incorporate social – we can always incorporate social media into what we do, and that is, you know, you put a QR code on your poster. You know, you put a website on your flyer. But handing that flyer to somebody and saying, I'm giving this to you and I'm informing you, there will never be a substitute for that. You know, and, you know, it's still the most effective type of promotion. Why do companies send out coupons? It's the same
thing. Hands-on. Same thing. Exact same thing.
You know, I'm able to touch you and give you something of value, you know. And besides that, you know, you make friends. You meet people. You know, you run into a lot of girls. You know, whatever it is. You know, it's that personal contact that street promotion gives that will never, ever be able to be erased. And if they could, you know, they wouldn't be sending coupons. Political people wouldn't be putting signs on lawns and, you know.
Right. They basically replaced us and ripped us off.
Well, that's one thing we can talk about also. See, I just did a big interview with this guy, Al Bell, and his cousin. They were talking about this corporate takeover in the music industry when it comes to black artists and black record labels. The same thing is going on today. These people walk into their offices, think they had a job, and there was no more black music departments. It's called a corporate takeover. Right now, what they did with street promotion, they took our name and called us something else, and now they're doing their thing with it. So by us being a coalition of brothers across the whole world now, we're not just the United States no more, we're the whole world. It's our music. It's our product. It's our people's creativity. We created this stuff. And for us to just give away, I mean, fatten ourselves up with the frogs and they're the snakes, they just took everything we got. But they haven't took nothing from me. I still got my pride. And everything I've done in this game, I mean, I'm holding on to it. We birthed this baby. So it's up to us on this call right now and other people that's listening to let these people know you have to come back to your roots. The roots have always been here. We're here for you. I mean, we're not no big charging people. I started this whole thing out of love. You know, just the love of this whole concept of being a part of something that I didn't even know what it was.
I want to get into your book, but I got a call coming in. I know they want to ask y'all questions. We're getting right into your book, so let's do this. Caller 8602.
Hey, hello.
Hey, what's up, Blue?
Hey, what's going on, man? How y'all doing?
What's up, man? You got a question for these brothers, man?
Well, not much as a question as to a statement. And, I guess kind of a question as well. Just so the fellas could know what my background is, came up in New York City, and I was part of a big promotional team back then known as Men and Models of Exquisite Talent. And before the internet and all of that stuff, we was the king of giving out flyers, and our motto was just to get 10% of whatever flyers we gave out. So if we was trying to get 1,000 people to the venue, we was trying to give out 10,000 flyers. Y'all understand that concept, I'm sure. When the internet came, especially when the first internet, do you guys remember the scams that came with the internet? A lot of people were like, oh, malls are going to close. Nobody's going to want to shop anymore. Everybody's going to do all of their shopping online. Remember that?
Yep, the industry should have embraced Napster.
Absolutely, and people thought that the computer was just going to take over everything instead of just enhancing what was already there. So my statement is that, but my question is, do any of you guys see a return to using a combination of both? Because my brand works both ways. I do online, I'm big on Twitter, I'm big on Facebook, and YouTube, but I be in the streets as well, letting the people know through flyers, through performances or whatever, where I'm going to be at. Do you guys see a return to people using street teams?
It never went anywhere. I mean, yeah, it's always going to be there. See, what you're doing now, you just said you're doing.
Right.
You just said you're doing the same thing that we grew up doing. So for you like to say that we have to go along with the internet. See, the internet, it's a people thing. The people are going to the internet. They forgot about the streets, but they're in the streets every day. They get in their car, they get on the freeways. What's going on? We both can exist in this world, put it that way. We both can exist.
We
have to embrace that. We have to embrace that because of the people. The people are there, so we have to embrace that. But they're not embracing us.
My point of view on this is I see more of street promotion, like when you cook a meal, but then you use social media as a little more flavoring to sprinkle, to accent, not to be the only thing.
Right. No, I'm exactly in that place. The internet kind of adds the flavor, like you say, or adds some spice to it. But nothing replaces what the street team, what happens in the street, and just hard promotion. You know what I mean? It's so easy to look at an email and delete it, a web blast, delete it, somebody's timeline, and just scroll past it. But, you know, those relationships in the street are the ones that last longer to me.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, brother, because you got the right concept, man. You're using both tools. And like Troy said earlier, these are just tools that we use to get the job done.
You
absolutely.
Know, the thing
that you
before
have to
we leave
is.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead, man.
The thing you have to remember is what you're doing, you know, by being out there in the street and shaking people's hands, you know, you utilize, you know, social media the same way. You may not physically be shaking your hand, but let them know that it's you who's actually putting it out there. So, you know, whether it's brought to you by, you know, this person or in conjunction with, you let them know where it comes from. And you always give them a place to come back to. You know, the thing with, you know, handing out a flyer, you know, with street promotion, there was a phone number on there that you can call. Now there's an email that you can respond to, but you have to leave them something so they know where to come back to and to give your thing some value, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, guys, Blue is on this network. He comes on Wednesday, so, you know, I appreciate you calling in.
Well, just my shameless plug, just my thoughts. Wednesdays at 5 p.m. West Coast time, we talk to interesting people, and we talk about interesting things. I'm a novelist, author, and a poet. And I'm glad to be a part of the team. Shout out to the Zulu Nation.
Shout out to Zulu. What's up, man? We get ready to get into this real deep, man. Scotty, I want you to talk about this book, man. And I'm very appreciative that you allow us to talk about this situation before it drops. But this is a very important book, people. Scotty's written a book about a lot of things that we're talking about. So please, brother, I'm giving you the floor.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being on this call. But in the beginning, Almighty God created the heavens and the earth. He was doing promotions way back then. Way back then. but you know it's going to continue to go on. Well, anyway, this book, How the West Was Won, came along with me and Roger Clayton. By us just meeting each other, and we were doing promotion. But see, I have a life story. I go back to 1972. The West Coast story has never, ever been told correctly. We have an NWA movie, very successful. We were a part of that for the time being. But anyway, the whole West Coast story has never been told correctly. Everybody got their bits and pieces of it. But in the beginning, 1972, we have forefathers on the West Coast that people don't even know about. The foundation was laid a long time ago in the early 80s, and nobody knows about that. So I had to put this thing together, and I put the seven forefathers, which are Cletus Anderson, Calvin Anderson, Duffy Hooks, the Lockers. Anybody know anything about the Lockers? The Lockers were my influence. In 1972, I saw them at this Al Bell concert in 1972. They had it at the Los Angeles Coliseum, and I saw them guys over there dancing. And that inspired me to become a Locker. Los Angeles started with DJs locking, popping, and breaking was like it wasn't even existing. That was on the East Coast, and it wasn't even, they got their concept off of the Lockers. So to make a long story short, I put this whole book together and laid out the blueprint of how we started doing promotions, who did the first invoice, even how to do an invoice. We didn't even know how to do an invoice. Am I right or wrong, Troy? We didn't know how to even put together invoices to do this. So we put together the whole blueprint of how to do correct promotions and go platinum on the streets. I laid the foundation out so everybody know that we have a West Coast foundation. It was not just because of Snoop came up and Dre was doing music and he's, no, it was a lot more before that. So I'm going to the beginning so you guys can know that you have a home, and we can go forward with this. Well, like all the new guys with the Kendrick Lamars and all that, and I'm putting a real scope on Compton. Compton is the mecca of music and talent and everything on the West Coast. You guys can disagree or agree with me or not. If you're mad at me, it's just my opinion on you. Don't blame it on my heart. Blame it on the Western. You know what I'm saying? It's just Western. And this book is going to be out by the beginning of the year. We got our first draft last week, and it looks good. And if anybody, you know, want to follow me, my name is Scotty D. Spencer at Facebook. That's it, period. My phone number and everything is up there. And it's just laying a foundation on the West Coast. We got a lot of people that's never been talked about, the Roger Claytons, the Cletus Anderson, the Mixmaster Spades from Compton, California. People don't know about these legends. I mean, even the Bay Area has a story, but it all started in Los Angeles, California, by way of Compton, California. I mean, before Dr. Dre was making mixes and all that, we had guys in Compton, California, on El Segundo, the Soundmaster crew. Coolio was even in that group. We have original people that started this whole thing on the West Coast that made this whole thing a billion-dollar industry. We have to lay a foundation so you guys can know where you guys came from. That's all. That's it in a nutshell. And I put it in my pocket so I can go on this and get a community center somewhere in Compton on the Boulevard. So that's the whole concept of the book, is just laying the foundation of West Coast hip-hop and rap, period.
When's the book come out, man? Or can you get that information?
We should be ready by February. We should be out by February. I'm trying to push it before March, before my birthday, so we'll have a full month of just madness, for real, and gladness and happiness and love and all of that.
Well, I'm very appreciative. I've got a chance to get some of the inside looks at that, man. This book is going to be hot. And hopefully you'll come back.
Remember when the guy was talking about the pictures? He... Sir T lost so much stuff. Everybody lost things moving.
I know.
So Scotty D kept every picture. I got so much film and so many pictures, thousands of pictures, man. Pictures you wouldn't even think I had. It's crazy. I've been dealing with a lot of different movie people wanting to license out my stuff, even on the NWA movie. And John Singleton, all these people are trying to look at my pictures and put them in there. In their new series and things that's coming around, so yeah, it is what it is. We have the evidence for a big project on the West Coast, and it doesn't stop.
Tell them the name of the book.
The book is called How the West Was Won.
Say that again for me, brother, so they hear you. Say it again.
How the West Was Won.
That's right.
Written and co-written by my homegirl Tamu. My brother Siddiqui's wife up there in the Bay Area. I'm from Compton.
Shout
out to Bay, and it's going down. Shout out to Siddiqui and Tamu. I mean, man, we got some. I got Ice-T in it. I got Snoop. I got Curtis Blow doing my Ford. I got Coolio. I got so many people have already just, you know, blessed it already. So it's going down. It's going down.
Let me ask you guys a question. If you guys got a new artist today and he had a budget, hopefully fantasy, yeah, but you had a budget, you had a hot artist, what would be the things you guys would tell them to do just basically, you know, to put a record out, to put things together, to do what needs to be done? Because we like to educate here on this program.
Sir T, hit him with the education, Sir T.
They need to hire us. Call Troy. Troy will call the street team. We got a page on Facebook called World Famous OG National Street Team, and that's what it is. I mean, it's probably, well, most of the guys are still there. We got the best of the best. And you know, there's a few brothers that fell off, that passed away. We're going to be adding some new tastemakers and trendsetters, but it's there. It's World Famous OG National Street Team. You can look for it on Facebook. A lot of the pioneers are on there, man. I mean, if you want to be successful, you got to have people in your camp that know what they're doing, and you got to take it to the streets. Everything starts on the streets. You know, own your backyard, move it out. Keep going. Keep pushing.
Yeah, I believe that, because that concept never left, man, because, I mean, the major artists that really were successful, the Bay Area taught you guys how to get it out the trunk. Suge Knight showed you, with money, how to do a national campaign. Master P came along and took both them pages and put them together and put out records every week, it seemed like. So the concept of this stuff that we're talking about is still here. You guys can still go platinum in the streets by just following, you know, simple directions. Look at who already was successful. You know, go with the flow. But it always started in the streets.
I mean, in breaking a new artist today, the one thing that you got to remember is there's no departure from getting in a van, sleeping in cheap motels, eating the dollar menu, and going where the people are and getting face-to-face with your consumer. Using social media to say, I'm here, I'm there, you know, but the bottom line is people don't care how you get there as long as you arrive. You have to show up in order to show out. You know, at the end of the day, it boils down to being able to touch people so they know that you're real. That's why there's no the groups that are hitting today, they're not going to be around 5 years from now. You know, the type of music that they're doing, there's not going to be any big publishing catalogs. You know, I can't see anybody, you know, licensing a Rich Homie Quan record, you know, 5 years from now. You know, but I mean, you know, they just did a movie about a group of guys from Compton and L.A., you know, that have lasted the test of time because they put out things that people still want to hear. You know, blase, 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 ooh, 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 ooh. Okay, it has a place for right now. You know, it's gonna be eaten up, and it's gonna go in the body, and it's gonna come out the other end, and that's gonna be it. But when I look at my wall, I see, you know, Tupac and Eric B and Rakim and Dana Dane, and you know, I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. These are things that a company like Radio One has invested formats in across the country. You know, throwback hip hop. You know,
that's
says it all.
You know, I'm gonna play something that Sir T specifically asked me to play. I know this was a big part of what we were doing. This was, to me, kind of like
Yo. Hello?
I came to you, that I come to you with the truth. The mean streets took 6 more lives overnight, all the result of gangbang stupidity. By the way, you gangsters, you know, one of your victims was a 3-year-old girl. Local gang members, you still don't get it, do you?
It's straight up madness everywhere I look. Used to be a straight A student. Now it's a crook, robbing people just to smoke and shoot up. Used to have a crew cut, now it's a poop butt. Dropped out of school and joined the neighborhood gang. Hanging on the street.
work. It's time we start being good mothers from the birth of our children. No time for sleeping. Teach them to fight and win. For the right reason. It's your time. It's your life living. Proud to be black, young, and gifted. Lifted by the knowledge of taking the right route. Gang violence needs to be wiped out.
One and the same. Everyone came in the same chain. Caught with the same aim. Brain games and names changed. Destroyed the black male crack jail and semi-automatic static if the crack fails. So since we all talk the same slang, stop killing my brother because we're all from the same gang.
Don't know we got to put our heads together. Make the change
because
we're all in the same gang.
Now as a youth, I used to get my bang on and on the app get my part-time slang on. When the time for me was no joke, so they knew I was crazy, so they labeled me loco. Had these trees off after it was 40. Low riding and tossing up a 40. Thinking in my mind that no one can handle us. The Dallas brothers never touched Los Angeles.
Being a pimp that we are, we're here to speak in a situation that is gone too far.
Here at home, it's the ghettos of L.A., where a young black girl is not promised to see the next day.
Cause we used to come from the streets before we made beef.
But food's delayed and prayer of the week.
It don't depend on the color of a rag.
Cause if you got what they want, you know they're gonna take what you
cause
have.
Cause violence can only revolve from drugs and thugs and gangs that bang most times.
It's a political thing.
Yeah, a couple of spots to get time.
And the government wants to see me get all this stuff. I see, ripping the microphone the way I do. Listen close, my brothers, cause I'm talking to you. The problem is we got a suicidal lifestyle. Cause 90% of us are living foul and wild. I say job, you say
bad joke. I'd rather jack another brother, watch the gun smoke.
Living in the fast lane, flipping like you're insane. You won't stop until your blood runs down the street drain.
Don't you know we got to put our heads together? Stop the fight.
Make the change.
Yo, we're not here to free,
yeah.
Because we're not ministers. We're telling it like it is, just when it's red like sinister.
Reality speaks for itself when it's spoken.
They say clutch can't blame nobody for smoking.
Yo, bullets flying, mothers crying,
brothers dying,
lying in the streets. That's why we're trying to stop them from falling apart and going to waste and keeping the smile off a white face.
And brothers, killing other brothers. I thought the idea was to love one another. Open up the paper so one more death. If y'all keep this step, then there'll be no one left. I try my best to set an example. Saying hype lyrics over hip-hop samples. Not just to brag, I suppose, but to inform. Cause I'm living in the calm before the storm.
I'm in a rage.
Oh yeah? Yo, why is that, G?
Of the races. They say we act like rats in a cage. I tried to argue, but check it. Every night in the news, we prove them suckers right. And I got the blue.
America.
Get busy, Humpty.
The red, the white, the blue, and the blue and the red for Christian blood, the white for who's got you doing time, busting caps on one another.
The underground sound for peace amongst brothers.
Kill a black man.
What?
Yo, what are you retarded?
Tell them, Hunk.
Yo, do you work for the Klan?
Do what you like.
Unless you like gang banging. Let's see how many brothers leave us hanging.
Kicking on the ab by a quarter to nine. All the homies getting blind in an eight ball line. Now on this tip, they started running their lips. Jumped in the juice and took a little trip. Hit the block about 12 and a tick. The whittles went down and the nines went click. People started yelling, bodies started bailing. Bullets go flying, sending something to hell in. It's gotta stop, we don't need all the violence. Peace in the hood and I'm over the silence. We got together, not on ego or fame. We got involved cause we're all in the same game.
When I leave, yo, easy's no sellout. And if you can't hang in the streets, then get the hell out. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. You have your own freedom of choice who to listen to. You know good from bad, bad from fine, right from wrong. Now your mother's singing that sad song.
My baby ain't never hurt nobody.
But he still got smoke at baby's party. But you're not the first or the last. You're nothing but a short story from the past. You're dead now, not number one but a zero. Take notes from Easy E, the violent hero.
Welcome back to Inside the Game. Tonight we have legendary Street Kings, guys that made this thing pop. You know, guys, I had to play that record. T had hit me up and said that's one of the songs that he wanted to hear, and I know you guys wanted to hear. That was a very intricate record, did a lot of things. And please speak on some of the things that were going on at that time to put that record together that we had to push in the streets.
For one thing, I told Sir T to make sure you play that record. That's my theme song. That's my favorite song, for real. I mean, that's one of the greatest songs ever composed. I mean, it was some other people that produced it before Dr. Dre. I think it was King Scratch that did the original beat for it. And then Dre came in and put it together. Well, make a long story short, peace out to Mike Conception for even putting us on it. I mean, for even coming together and using his juice card to even make that record happen. I mean, it was only one person that could have did it at that time, because New York was having their Unity record. The West Coast wasn't on that tip. But Mike Conception came along, and he made that song happen. He put me on. And the rest is history. I mean, it's just a beautiful record. I mean, you had my boy King T. Come on, he ended it with Easy. I mean, that record was everything. Everybody was in there. The whole pie was in there. And if we can, I mean, there's never been another song after that. There's been a few collaborations, you know, but it's clicked. This record wasn't clicked. This record was from everybody. You know, we have a lot of clicks, and that's one thing the West Coast does. They click a lot. They don't reach out and do things with other people. Like the dude Coolio, good friend of mine. He never had a Dr. Dre beat, but he had every award across the board except for the Soul Train Music Awards. Every award without a Dr. Dre beat. I mean, people don't even talk about Coolio, but he's still working. Coolio works to this day. That was a good, really good record for me. Y'all can talk about that all y'all want to, but that record right there, it's my theme song. It's going to always be my theme song. It's my number one record on the West Coast and a few things up under it, but that's my number one record.
And when you think about that record and self-destruction, you know, it kind of, you know, was a it precursor to, you know, those songs that brought people together. When I was at Warner, I mean, at the time, Mike Conception had a deal, you know, over there where he had, Lord have mercy, Juvenile Committee, and, you know, Mike was, you know, trying to, you know, do some really, really good things. And I remember Ice-T sat down with him, and, you know, I talked to him about trying to put something together on this project that could kind of unify the gangs. And, you know, he did a record called Got a Lot of Love. And I think that was spawned out of all the things that were happening at the time around the country where people were actually trying to unify themselves. And, you know, the concept I came up for that cover was two brothers, you know, giving each other dap, and their hands were tied together with a red and a blue rag. You know, so it was a special time where people started to see, you know, what is really happening now. I mean, you know, a young man just got killed, you know, the other day, you know, in Florida, you know, stuffed under a bridge and cops shoot him. I mean, you know, Marvin Gaye talked about what's going on. You know, that was a time when people started to say, you know what, we got to start taking care of ourselves, and we got to let people know that, you know, we're more than just what they think we are.
Take it.
Yeah, that's very true, man. I mean, that was just a sign of the times, man. I mean, you had records like that. You had Thug Young put, you know, Bloods and Crips albums together. But, I mean, I think that single record right there solidified the game, man. Everybody was to the point where they're tired of this, you know, Blood Crip, North South shit. I mean, killing over nothing, man. Killing over something that our people, whether they're black, brown, didn't own, man. I mean, it's just, you know, the whole concept with gangs and with, you know, killing each other over a rag, over a color, over where you're from. I mean, you know, people just got tired of that shit, man. I mean, and you know, I think that particular record was a big project, man. You know, at least the people, you know, you always say that these athletes and these people that are in the limelight should be the role model for these kids, man. I mean, and I think they all stepped up to the plate on that record and tried to do the right thing, you know. So I think that's a really, really great hip-hop record. It should be considered like one of the best hip-hop records ever, you know.
We got about 10 minutes left. I'm going to let you guys talk about projects you got, you know, where you guys are, how to get in contact with you. Go ahead and start, Sir T.
Well, we got, like I said, we got world-famous OG National Street Team. If any of you companies, brands, artists are looking to blow up, I mean, you know who to call, man. The proof is in the pudding. Been there, done that, still doing it. You know, Scotty D, I mean, these are like family. The dudes on this team are like family. I mean, we've been together through all the battles, all the battle scars together, all over the country together. We've broken hundreds and maybe thousands of records. And, I mean, a lot of plaques on the walls. I mean, you know, we know how to do it. And, you know, Troy, you know, is quarterback, you know, one of the greatest teams of all time. I mean, Scotty owns L.A., man. I mean, you know, one of the pioneers of the game. I mean, I've been doing, I'm lucky to be in association with these guys, but, you know, just at the right place at the right times, you know, doing what I love. And, you know, none of us knew what this would be, you know, 25 years, 30 years down the road. I've been in the game for 37 years, you know, radio, promotions, all that. But, I mean, these guys are like family. They're like brothers. I know who we can call. I mean, you know, you might have had a bad experience with street people. I mean, we've had to get rid of a lot of them. One time me and Scotty were in Miami, and we had to show the Miami rep what to do. Because he didn't have a clue. So they got rid of him that day. But it's just like, you know, you got to check the track record. You're going to hire somebody, check the track record. Check the background. You know, you got to hire somebody that you trust that can do it. And, I mean, we're still here. Like Scotty said, we never went away. And we ain't going nowhere. So, you know what to do if you want to blow up.
How to get a hold of you, Scotty?
Well, you can reach Scotty D on Facebook, S-C-O-T-T-Y-D Spencer. That's on Facebook. Everything is up there, my phone number and all that. I got a prison ministry, West Coast Prison Ministry. I help people clear up their criminal records. So all you people out there with them felonies, you want your record cleared up, holler at your boy, 661-349-0241. Other than that, still doing promotions. We got a kid right now, P. Knuckle, he's blowing up. My ex-wife, Mo Love, she got a group, Artistry. Matter of fact,
yeah,
I was trying to sign them over Universal, banging young people. You know, we
keep I'm trying to get him over there. I'm trying to get Pinocchio over there, too. Don't get it twisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still doing work, I mean, across the United States. I travel all the time. I'm writing this book, How the West is Won. Look out for that beginning of the year.
You're going to come back on the show, right?
Definitely. I mean, you know.
Promote the book. I'm trying. So y'all know, everybody in Radio Land, we trying to get Scotty to do How the West was Won radio show. So
yeah,
we're saving time for that because can't nobody do
it's
it.
It's just
like
my
man.
Comment. World, don't get it twisted. I'm open for the suggestion, but my timing right now is off. I can't. There's too many distractions. I got to get this book done.
I ain't mad at you. I'm just trying to put a little salt in you, brother. You know I love you. You know, I'm always here to support you. Definitely, man. You know,
Troy,
you know, let people know how to get over you. How you get a hold of Big Troy?
Real simple. I'm LinkedIn under Troy Shelton. I'm on Facebook under Troy Shelton. There are a couple of things I'm doing right now. I'm working with, you know, some Latino artists, the kid Carlito Olivero, who was on The X Factor. There's another kid, Yamir, from Nicaragua that I'm working with. I've been doing some international stuff and some reggae music and still have, you know, a great love for hip-hop. My son started a production company called Maximilian Images, and he's doing a lot of videos. You can check him out at MaximilianImages.com and see all the videos that he's doing, helping him put together deals and content deals. As a matter of fact, he has a news magazine that he does through the site called The Exchange. The next piece that he's going to put up is going to be with Rakim. He did one with DMC that was pretty exquisite. But still in the game, still promoting records, you know, working on, you know, some movie projects, and I'm actually in development and writing a book as well. You know, so hopefully, you know, later on, you know, in 2016, you know, I can be back on the show and talk to you guys about the book that I'm writing. About hip hop. Don't want to give the title yet, but it's going to be something really, really special, you know. And I just thank you, Sneaky, for this platform. This was a great conversation, and I really enjoyed myself. I really, really,
you know,
did, man. So
I really want to do a part two with this, man. And I want to do some things. I want to invite all y'all to come back between 11th of November and the 15th. This whole network right here, we're going to dedicate to the history and the legacy of hip-hop. So every show will have a
some sort of hip-hop flavor. But we're going to do a big round table. I'll get you guys the date, and we want to invite everybody to call in. We're talking about yesterday, today, and how we take hip-hop tomorrow. I want to definitely give a shout-out to my brother, Sir T. Man, you know, we've been back for way back. Scotty's like a father to me. Sadiqi and Scotty took me in when hardly anybody else let me know anything. And Troy was the first cat to give me a paycheck. Y'all don't really understand how much I really owe this brother. Troy was the first brother to give me a paycheck with my name on it for doing some work. So I definitely appreciate it. And shouts out and what we do. I'm going to go out on Pac's How to Live and Die in L.A. Definitely, but this is my thing. I always tell you guys this every week. You may not come when you call.
Thank you, man. And you know, I forgot to give you my hookup, man, and the projects I got. We got this new clothing line called 5150 Brand. You can check it out, 5150 or brand.com. It's 50FTY and then 150brand.com. Check out the clothing line. It's about to blow up. It's the next FUBU. And we, like I said, we got that Pinochle record. And you can find me on LinkedIn under Todd Welch, or you can find me under Sir T, Todd Welch, Facebook. And like I said, we got Jam City Marketing and Promotions on Facebook and World Famous OG National Street Team. And thank you, man. I really enjoyed myself as well. Nice platform.
Man, Scott, you know, listen. Yes, sir.
Scotty D, I want to give a shout-out to my daughters, man, all my talented daughters, the models, the dancers, the choreographers, and my whole street team, man. My whole street team from back in the days. Man, I love y'all, man. Y'all my brothers, my sons. All that. My street team is still valuable to me to this day, man. Basically, my brothers and my sons.
And you know, being one of those cats that was in your street team, I'm very appreciative. You always been like a father to me. So anything I do, you guys are always welcome here. Please come back with future projects, and let's sit down and build this forum. I got two other radio stations that I'm actually building out, so we can sit down and get some digital things together. I'm going to say this on my way out. He may not come when you call, but he's always on time. We'll be back next week. I love y'all. Peace.
Love you too. Peace.
Love you, bro.
Love you.
Somebody needs to do a song for L.A. Straight up. Just
go California. Out to L.A. Oh, new anthem. California Love Part 2.
One time.
To live in L.A. West side. West side. West side.
To live and die in L.A., where everybody try to fatten their pocket. So many hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a bean. Trying to floss on them, blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson, court cases, keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cause we're more to be free than a life in the bin. Making money over cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they could do to a player? Got me lost in hell. To live and die in L.A. on bail. My people say,
to live and die in L.A.
Constant danger, South Central L.A. can't get no stranger. Full of drama like a soap opera. On the curb watching the ghetto bird helicopters. I observe so many homies getting three strikes, tossed to jail. Sweat a pin right across from hell. I can't cry cause it's home now. I'm just a player on his own now. Living like thug style, so I can't smile. Writing to my loved ones, sending them pictures. Thinking Cali just done and switches. Better learn about the dress code. All them other suckers, copycats, these and G's. I love Cali like I love women. Cause every brother in the lane got a little bit of thug in them. We might fight amongst each other, but I promise you this, we'll tear the roof off this pit. To live and die in L.A.
Die in L.A. The place to be.
To live and die in L.A.
Breathe
it,
you know it's what everybody wanna see.
To live and die in L.A. It wouldn't be LA without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, and the sets again.